Hello everyone and welcome to episode 342 of the Mark and Me podcast. You know the score by now. I'm your host Mark, and on today's episode I'm absolutely thrilled to let you all know I'm joined by the amazing Dryden Mitchell, yes, the front man from the amazing band Alien Ant Farm. I can assure you now that this intro is going to be annoying, because I'm going to try and get as many ant puns in as I can. So this episode is going to be brilliant. I think that hopefully it's excellent, but I also don't want to come across as arrogant. So, you know, this is the level of stuff you're going to get today. But genuinely, this episode's absolutely brilliant. He's an amazing guest, and I'm so, so happy with how it came out. The energy is like nothing else. We click right from the moment we start talking, and we get to talk all about the band's brand new album, Mantras, which is out literally next week. But if you're listening to this a bit later, it might be out now. Go and stream it, go and buy it, go and do what you need to do. Get a vinyl, support the band, because it's absolutely awesome. And my interview with him is going to be coming up in just a couple of minutes' time. But before we get there, let's quickly touch base and talk about my last episode. I was joined by the amazing Mike Venant. No, not Venant, that's ant in my brain now. Mike Venant, the one and only incredible talent behind Ocean Size, Empire State Bastard, and the guitarist for the awesome Biffy Clyro. This interview blew up, thanks to everyone that shared it, to 2000 Trees, Arctangent, and so many other festivals. It means so much to me to see so many people sharing the episodes and getting the word out there. Truly, I'm so, so grateful. But today, it's an extravagant episode, so I think the best thing to do is to get straight to it. I promise you there's no more puns during the interview or during the outro. That's it now. I just had to do it. So here's me and Dryden talking all things Alien Ant Farm. So Dryden, thank you for joining me today on the Mark and Me podcast.
Yeah, happy to be here, man. Thank you.
What I love to do with every guest that comes on, it doesn't matter if you're an actor, a director, a musician, is take it right back to the very start. So I'm always intrigued about maybe the first album you were given or you bought with your pocket money as a kid that made you fall in love with music.
Oh man, first record, pocket money. It was like an amount, I almost treat it like, well, it had to have been maybe like the Rocky III soundtrack, because Eye of the Tiger Survivor was on there, you know? And I remember just hearing that, and there was like a tambourine in it or something that had like this, like, it had swag to it. It wasn't just, I don't know, it just sounded very rock and roll to me. And even Rocky is, the name is in the rock is in his damn name.
It's unbelievable soundtrack. I mean, it's a sad film because Mickey dies, so I don't like to talk about that film. I like try and skip that one.
Yeah, you're gonna fight thunder and crap lightning rocks.
That's an incredible impression, my friend. But that's a hell of a thing. Like, most people I talk to have got like a Beatles album their mum or dad gave them, or they've got like a Nirvana album with their paper round money. But a soundtrack, like, that's pretty epic. And if you talk about montage music or workout music, I don't think it comes much better than a Rocky soundtrack.
Oh, getting stronger. Oh,
you know, after this call today, I'm going to be listening to the best of Rocky.
That's cool. I'm going to do it too. I'm going to watch a bunch of your podcasts and then some Rocky too.
Do some boxing while listening to the podcast.
Shadow box.
Why not? Pod boxing coming soon. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Me and you just start it. Like, oh, freaking got me. Or we do like mic fights. We're just
this would be incredible. But then we don't actually ever release a video, so people only get to hear it.
There was a radio guy named Phil Hendry out here that used to blow my mind, and he would call old baseball games and boxing matches, but he'd just make it up from zero. And I was like, wow, this guy's so talented. He could just like call a game that is not happening.
Well, we're going to be the future.
Future of that, yeah.
So live music changed for me. I remember my parents dropping me off after school one night to a
concert in Wolverhampton, and it was Green Day. It was Green Day on their Dookie tour. That was one of the first shows I ever went to, and I was blown away. I saw Billy Joe Armstrong, I saw the other two, and I couldn't believe that there was only three people on stage. I was like, how the fuck is this band playing so good? But it made me want to be in a band. It made me want to pick up a guitar and bleach my hair and become a singer of a band. But I wondered what that first gig was for you. And if it's an embarrassing one, you know, let's hear the truth.
It's pretty ironic or just even just serendipitous that, well, Sesame Street on Ice does not count. I won't say that counts.
Wow.
But the serendipitous would probably be Michael Jackson at Dodger Stadium was my very first concert. And I was way back here in the nosebleeds. And it's so serendipitous and weird that I remember Papa Roach kind of inspired and signed our band to DreamWorks Records. And I remember talking to Dave Buckner, from the drummer from Papa Roach, original drummer. He was at the same show as me. So I just think it's so weird to blow up on a Michael Jackson song and singing Michael Jackson as a little shaver at 10 years old on the Victory Tour, and Dave Buckner was somewhere in the crowd, is a crazy tornado of happenings.
I reckon it's like fate. It's like, this is what's to come, but you didn't have any idea.
Yeah, I was like, damn, if I knew that, why couldn't I have been at a freaking Wham concert or Barbra Streisand? I want to blow up on a Barbra song, you know?
Unbelievable, though. Michael Jackson, I mean, random as hell. I was driving to work
today.
Because
we got nothing to be guilty of. Our love is one in a million, here and far. That would have been like...
Oh, my God.
That would have been so much freaking bigger and brighter and beautiful than Smooth Criminal, man. And we fucking blew it.
Maybe you get like a second coming one day and you just be like, right, we haven't sold as many records as we want. We'll get a cover. What should we do? Bam.
Yeah.
Well, we did do Wham on the new record called Everything She Wants.
This is like I've set it up for you and I'm throwing the ball and you're like,
yeah.
Home run.
Pew, pew, pew. Speaking of Wham.
Wow. So the new record, I didn't want to get to straight away. I wanted to talk about your kind of last 20, 25 years in the industry. But
okay. Yeah, yeah.
I truly believe, and I mean this, I was talking to someone at work today and I was saying I'm interviewing Alien Ant Farm tonight. And a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, they're the band that did the Michael Jackson song. But people don't appreciate, I think, enough the musicianship and songwriting of that debut album. It's an absolute fucking stone cold classic that I listened to it on the car on the way home tonight and it sounds like it was recorded last week. It sounds so fresh and it's obviously nostalgic and takes me back to the days of growing up and wanting to be a skateboarder. Absolutely. And having an Alien Ant Farm t-shirt and stuff. But
yeah,
you must be so proud of that debut.
Yeah, you know, it's the further along we've come and just growing up and learning how to record properly and doing it myself, when back then I was such a newbie, at least to that side of things. There are definitely, even just with like the new record, I feel it just has such a sturdier, stronger sound. But yeah, like the charm of that first record, it's such a cool little, you have a long time to sit and think about and kind of do that debut thing. So you might as well do it right, you know? And, but yeah, I just, it does sound fresh. I agree. Like I haven't listened to it in a long time, but the song Summer randomly came on a few months ago. And again, I just, it was almost the first time that I heard the band as just an objective person or something. It felt just like someone else was doing it. And yeah, it did feel like new and fresh to me. I was like, wow, this kind of holds its own right now. It's 20 something years later. It doesn't feel new metal or whatever that means, you know?
I think laying that foundation of such a great debut, having that chance to have an explosion on the scene and show who you are and not kind of try and find yourself by album number 5 is a huge, huge achievement. But at the same time, it sets you up to be like, how the fuck do we top this? Like, we've had such a great debut, but it kind of backfires, doesn't it?
It's damaging in ways that sound like I'm not complaining. You know what I mean? Because obviously, Smooth Criminal, we knew what we were doing. We recorded the song. But all that being said, we didn't really plan for it to be a single even. And when, DreamWorks and K-Rock in New York kind of started playing that song, I knew that it's that double-edged kind of thing. I was like, this is going to be, they're already saying it's like number one at K-Rock in one day. And I just said, wow, this is crazy. This is going to be bigger than the band in my head, And I just thought that didn't sit right with me. That granted, watching it all in real time is a trip because good things are happening to your band. Why are you feeling negative about it in any way, shape, or form? Because I was feeling that. I think we all were feeling a little uneasy or weird about it because of that Eclipse thing. And like you had mentioned, album five or something, I had seen Heroes, not that we're on any level with a Soundgarden or something, but I remember seeing Soundgarden just get bigger and bigger and better, all the recording techniques that I was talking, you know what I mean? You're just seeing a band, you're seeing a band like a season to season grow, and it's like amazing to watch. And then, the third record is this big juggernaut. So, that's kind of what I envisioned for Ant Farm. And, you had already mentioned that just didn't happen.
Did it kind of feel like it's a real weird one? I feel like it's a victory, but it's also like setting yourself up with this huge challenge to overcome. But I mean, what was it like mentally? Were you like, I wasn't ready for this song to suddenly be number one. I wasn't ready for everyone to be playing, MTV2. Every time I turned it on, it was like, I want to listen to Alien Ant Farm. I'll just stick MTV2 on because it was like, there you go. They're playing it again. It was fucking huge. It was insane. It was everywhere I went.
It was trippy. It's almost like weird because we are, you get this weird like boy band feel or something, and I'm like, wow, we are a little deeper than this. Of course, you want people to see your best side, and maybe I have no qualms about the song. It really bangs. And I think it's just a fun, cool thing. I mean, feel like we just threw it up in the air because it was almost like a flex or something. You know what I mean? We're going to take something that I almost feel like for our crowd or something, whatever that crowd is, I'm like, we're going to take a song that you probably would just talk shit about and we're going to make it bomb. You know what I mean? And that was our kind of vision of it.
Did it feel like whatever you did after that, you'd never reach those same heights? Not in a negative way, just like, how do you ever repeat that kind of lightning in a bottle? Like, it's a once in a lifetime thing where you just have that explosion.
Yeah. Of course you want to like the whole, I want to make money like anybody, just so it could, money to me just means freedom, So on those terms, you want all the success you can get in whatever field it is that you dabble in. I didn't feel that. I just felt like, okay, let's get back to Ant Farm now. You know what I mean? That was like,
we're actually a band with our own songs, everybody.
It's borderline hilarious because it was pulled off in such a cool way, I think. Let's get back to Ant Farm, and even like playing it in the set. It's just like it's like letting off a firecracker or something, but then we're still like the band doing our stuff,
I think it's impossible with the time we've got today to cover your whole career. But what I absolutely adore with bands is bands that go away and then you forget about them and then they come back and you're like, oh, fuck, like this is awesome. And they've still got it and they've still got the hunger and the desire. What kind of happened for you to go away for kind of almost, I think, is it 9 years before you brought out your new album? I mean, was it just a case of life getting in the way?
Life getting in the way and just butting heads, drinking like a maniac, you know what I mean? And just
all those sort of things.
But like pandemic came and I even just like was all like hitting it even harder when I was already just freaking hitting it as hard as you could hit it, and so I just felt like I need to go away, and I didn't go anywhere. I just I just got sober. You know what I mean? That was my going away, was like, hey, I'm going to pause for a long time. And a weird, and like, I didn't even speak to the guys, you know, and it, for whatever it was in my own head, I had these resentments. It wasn't even about anybody. I just needed to like reset, think about how to fulfill, make a record that was to me not up to par with, you know, trying to compete with Spoon Criminal, but something that would be, that make me feel like the anthology record did, you know. And that take, at least for me, took a minute and a lot of like rewrites, and I wanted to get it right. Along with sobriety came a lot of like care. So I would write parts for this record, and almost every song I would just say, where in the past I would take the first idea and just run with it. And every time I'd finish a song on here, I just think, I'm going to beat it. And I'd go back to the dog park with the dogs, and I just have the AirPods in, and I'd literally just wipe the lyrics clean and beat it. Sometimes I'd come back to, you know, idea one, but to exhaust everything kind of creatively, it was something new for me, and I'm glad I did it. And I don't think I would have done that. I wouldn't have done that. Being a buzzed guy, drunk guy.
Do you mind if I ask what it was that made you make the choice to then go sober? Was there an event or something that took place that made you say, fucking hell, I need to take a step back and just sort this shit out?
No, I don't. I mean, it wasn't any specific thing. I was just dabbling too much. I was like doing blow maybe like a couple times a week, you know, and kind of getting excited that oh my God, the guy that gives me blow is gonna, he's gonna deliver tonight. You get me all excited. And I was like, dude, what, you're excited about this little satchel of white powder, you know what I mean, that you're gonna do in your bathroom by yourself, you know, like throughout the evening. And, you know, of course, being in a band, I've done everything under the sun in these, in the proper environment for a season or two, that shit was okay. But when I was kind of doing it by myself or whatever, it was a little just old and sad. And, but it wasn't like a rock bottom. I was functioning or whatever, but I remembered the night I was like doing blow in my bathroom and drinking. And I was like, this is it. It's no like big end party. You know, tomorrow is, you're done. You're done. Yeah. You're done. You're done. So, yeah.
I'm really glad that obviously your life came back and you got the band and you're here now to talk about a brand new album. And I think, did is it now when you went in the studio and you started writing again, and you obviously said you're a lot more harsh, I suppose, with the songwriting, you're being a lot more strict and being like, I'm not just running with the first idea. You're really evolving as a musician and a songwriter. Do you think now you have like a new love and a second kind of appreciation for the music and the band again? Are you just like obsessed and falling back in love with it all?
I don't know. I really do love like tinkering and making the, you know, you saw it, all these little, that's like my favorite part, is like building the song, you know what I mean,
all the different layers, and
absolutely, or just like I don't care if it ever sees the light of day, but when I hear a riff and when there's some like a part or a verse, I'm like, this is gonna be awesome, this is gonna be massive. I don't even care if anyone hears it. I like that feeling of just like saying that to myself in my head, you know, and just getting slicker and cooler with those kind of tricks and stuff. That's my favorite part of it. Falling in love with the band and traveling and all that. I don't know. Like it's kind of cool in a weird way, but I could take it in like little doses. So we got a stretch of shows coming up here. I hope that I just enjoy it and accept it for what it is and all that, you know, but just, seeing guy like just traveling with grown men and missing my kids isn't something that I don't know if I'm gonna be too into, but maybe.
A lot changes, doesn't it, from 20 years ago, and life's change, and you grow up, and your priorities, and I don't know. I think you want different things from your life, and
Yeah,
it must be
I
hard to kind
really
of put yourself back into the mindset of we're touring a new album. Let's be 20 again, you
yeah.
know?
I'm such a homebody, man. Like I love this record. I would gladly just be like, okay, let's make another one right now, or I'm gonna do it by myself. Send me the music. We're not jamming in the room. Send me the riffs. I want to like have my little corner right here and just work this out like inside my head here. And that's the rad part. That sounds so like being a separatist or whatever, but
But it's the
I don't
truth.
know. It is the truth, yeah.
And I think it's nice that you are writing songs for yourself and you haven't got this pressure of a record label saying, you need to write 10 number one singles. You can just fucking
Yeah,
write what
we've
you
tried.
want.
Yeah, exactly. We've tried that and it didn't work either. Maybe we're just not great writers. But it's fun to flex your own Ant Farm to me, just through the years, and the first two records I really think are just dynamite from the band. So and it established like a style and a brand. So kind of knowing that and kind of walking into this, I almost like, what would Alien Ant Farm do? There was a lot of that like floating around in my head. Like, what would you do to this, Dry? From like not being in your body, like what would you have done back then? What would you have done smarter now? What, like, I don't know. It's fun. It's kind of fun to rip yourself off or something. I felt like I have a style, and I want to hit that mark.
It's like you're this set of characters that you're trying to recreate. And that's a really weird kind of challenge for yourself because sometimes you can't recreate something that was for that
No,
time, you know?
yeah, absolutely. But I immediately know when something's like kind of cringy, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? So
No,
I
of
just like,
course.
nah, that's out. So being like the like little marionette of my own little singer, it's kind of cool. Like, nope, delete, and let's figure this out and make this as poignant and pungent and cool as it can be. It's now, and that time's gone. It's now, and make it super ant farmy and make it super strong and better than the old stuff.
You were literally just saying that if you could, you'd start writing a new album right away, get everyone in the band to start sending their demos over and the riffs and everything. Are you feeling like it won't be as long a wait now for the next album? Are you just like, I'm ready to fucking start demoing already?
No, because I really do entertain myself with my own music
Yeah.
enough to, and I really don't want to spit out another Ant Farm record. I really feel strongly about this particular stack of songs that we just got these. I just got one of
Oh,
these last
wow.
night, and I was all excited about it to
It's in
get
the
the vinyl
flesh. Look at that.
and the CD. I was all like looking through the thank yous and stuff like an old comic book. But yeah, I want to try and work this album. You know what I
Yeah, of
mean? It's like
course.
even a, oh, the record's already a year old. But like, do you guys like, what are your next plans? I would probably be like, I'm gonna make this record work. Like, we more people have to hear a few of these songs before we like try and muster up an idea of to do something else. I don't want to must. I have all the mustering is gonna come from my own guitar playing and my own little riffs that I do by myself. Because the Ant Farm side of it is like pretty strong and sturdy right now. I like this little set right here.
Do you write songs in a mindset that some will never make an Ant Farm album and they could just be for you at home, but they could one day maybe evolve into a solo album or a separate project?
Yeah, I want to do that for sure. And I know when something's not vibe like
Yeah.
worthy of even like the guys are like, dude, it's so great. Like, I love that. And it's like not for us, you know what I mean? And it doesn't have, it's not necessarily because it's like soft. I'm like more folky, kind of acoustic singer songwriter driven. It's not that, because Ant Farm has its fair share of mellower riffs, here and there. But we just kind of decide here what, we know our roles, and Terry's such a strong riff writer in the guitar world, that I'd rather have him take on the bulk of that with Ant Farm. And I'm a strummy guy, and maybe sometimes I will maybe steal a lyric from my own stuff too, because I'm like, this is way too strong, like, to just have be sitting in my hard drive. I'd rather at least have it be thrown out in the wild with Ant Farm or something, you know.
One of my favorite bands ever are Thrice, and I love the fact that they have their own band.
They're awesome.
But I love the fact that Dustin can do a country and western album on his own, or an acoustic sort of really laid back, and then they can do something really heavy as a band. And it sounds like you've got that option. If you want to write a song that's just for you at home, or a really chilled solo, like melodic song that doesn't have riffs, you've got the freedom to do that.
Yeah. And I don't know if I've tinkered with the idea throughout the years of, like, you've got so many of these things just laying here that for me are every bit as, like, genuine and cool. Why don't you do something with them? But then, like, again, it goes back to, like, well, I'm just happy making them, you know? And then I'm just like, that, okay, I did that. That was such a cool, healthy distraction, you know, just riffing around and recording it and learning how to just be in control of my doubles and harmonies and stuff is very, I can't think of a better way to waste a day, you know?
What's the likeliness right now, the way the music scene is, and there's no money to be made off a million streams and all this way it is? Have you guys coming over hopefully to Europe or the UK to play this new album? Because every band I speak to at the moment is like, well, we're trying to work it out, we're trying to get the best thing, but it's not like 20 years ago, is it, where you could come over whenever? Is it likely we'll see you in the flesh anytime soon?
October, November is getting, like, flirted with and talked about, and it's looking like way more serious than not. That might shift a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's happening soon for sure.
Cause I know you came over and did, like, a celebration of, was it with POD and,
yeah, we did a Hoobastank POD.
Yeah.
And then we came back after that, maybe a year or two later by ourselves, and kind of did an anthology. I don't think it was like a 20 year or anything, but we just did an anthology kind of just, I think it was at least advertised the anthology in its entirety, but I think we fucked with that a little bit even too.
So hopefully by the end of the year, we can sit down and, you know, we can do this in person.
Oh, dude, I would love to come chat and
eat check nice out food.
Eat beautiful food, talk about your beautiful Shure SM7 microphone, and all the things. All the things.
I know I've got literally only a few minutes left, but I was wondering, because you're so in the world of having your own studio set up, recording, getting the right sounds, being a bit of a producer, do you record other bands or give the thought of being a producer, or just for yourself?
Our drummer Mike is more far better behind the wheel of being kind of techie like that. I fumble my way through it, and I get good quality results, but you know, if I show an engineer like how I got there, they would be like, whoa, dude, do you even know how to drive the car?
I'm the same, editing in one vocal. I do not get any right.
Yeah, I just like, will you just close your fucking eyes and listen to the song, because it's sounding good, you know? That's where I'm at.
My final question for you today is one that I've added and asked every guest that's been on the podcast, but what I try and do to make the podcast as original as I can, and it's difficult because there's millions of podcasts out there, but what I try and do to make it a bit more unique is put you on the spot. And
okay,
as the outro is all edited and recorded, I finish it with a song to be played, and the song is chosen by you. So you can choose any song by any band or any piece of music in the entire world. But I am putting you on the spot because there's probably 10 songs in your head right now. But what is a song that you love, that means a lot to you, that when I ask the question kind of comes to your heart and your soul, that you think would be a really beautiful outro song today? And I love the reason why you think it came before any other.
Maybe a song called Smoke by Ben Folds 5.
I know that song and I know that band.
Yeah, is a leaf by leaf and page by page, throw this book away, all the sadness, all the rage.
Ah, nostalgia.
So it's kind of, yeah, I love, and he hits this smug, he just such a cool, very, he keeps his flat and sharp notes, and it's so human. Ben Folds is, well, he's a rad singer, I mean, you say flats and sharps, but I don't know. That song Smoke just came into my head for some reason.
I've not
reason.
Heard that band for years. Absolutely.
I love
years.
Ben Folds Five. They're so good. Their vinyl for their first debut record, I'm getting, I think, May 17th is coming to my house. So I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, dude, you have the record. Why do you care about the vinyl? You know, I still just do. I
do
it
all the time. I'm like, I've got all the Deftones albums, but then I'm like, oh, they put it out again as a special white vinyl, even though I've got
it. I'm going to listen to this. Like,
yeah.
Like,
and I never do. Like, it comes, and I keep it sealed because I'm like, but I don't want it to lose value and it's going to be beautiful. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to get smudge marks all over it. So I'll just.
That's awesome, though, man. That's just kind of just shows how, like, how powerful it is, just like, to when you regard someone like the Deftones or just as this, it's just, it's cool what these little clubs can create.
It's good as well because it's like physical, it's yours, you've got it, and it feels, I
yeah,
don't know, it
yeah,
feels
music,
like, ah.
Yeah, exactly, because music is not tangible, so when you make it like, so, you know, something tangible, I get all, oh my gosh, this is awesome, you know, another thing about the real thing.
The thought that people used to put in as well, like some of the early Radiohead albums that would fold out to a map, or in the, underneath the CD you take the tray out and there'd be like secret little bits, or even just having the lyrics at your hand and being able to just fold it out, and the smell of the inlay, I was like, nothing beats that for me. I know you can have a billion songs on Spotify, but I'm like, no, I just want to be able to look at an actual physical thing and think, this is some work's gone into this. There's for the artwork, the designs.
Yeah. And it almost gives you, you know, that in the world we are now, I'm guilty of it too. I'm on to the next song before the song's even finished, you know, and with a record, we'll actually listen to a little bit of it.
It's, I hate myself for it, but I do flick tracks or have it on shuffle. I'm like, well, the band didn't record it in this way, so why am I disrespecting them?
Yeah. Nah. Music, whatever.
Dude, our time's up, but I feel like we could have spoken for a couple of hours. So please, if you are here at the end of the year, let's sit down. We'll take Emma out. We'll have some food and we'll do this all again.
I would love to, Mark. I'm going to specifically like ask her to set me up with you too. That would be great.
I appreciate it. There's a whole list of stuff I want to talk about. Films, directing, editing, recording, all these different things. So let's do it.
Okay, brother. Thank you so much.
And good luck with the album, my friend. I've been able to listen to it because Emma sent me like an advance copy. Truly,
cheers.
Truly, it's fucking awesome. I fucking love it.
So, thanks, man. I appreciate that. A
couple of weeks
we
so that people can actually have it themselves.
Cheers, man. Thanks.
And good luck with the rest of the interview and the rest of the press, and I hope it all goes really well.
Thank you, brother.
So there it is. There's my interview with me and the amazing Dryden from the awesome Alien Ant Farm. I told you at the start of today's interview, truly it's one of my favourite interviews I've done. We just hit it off. He's such a nice guy. And while I'm here right now, I want to give a big shout out to the amazing Emma. You are absolutely awesome for making this interview happen. Emma from Public City, if you don't know who I'm talking about. Truly one of the best people out there in the game and gets me some of the best guests on the podcast. So I mean it. Thank you so much. I've said this before. I'm so in debt with you. And this is just going to make me even further in debt. If you enjoyed today's episode, everyone, please share it. You know the score. Go on Facebook and hit that share button. Go on Twitter and hit the retweet button. Or go on Instagram and hit that little heart. Or if you're really generous, why not put it as part of your story? Comment on YouTube, because if you really want to, this interview is right there for you now, sitting on YouTube, so you can go and watch us do the interview. I'm new to YouTube. I'm learning so much all the time, but I'm really proud of the stuff that's there so far. And also, if you want to support the podcast that little bit more, I do have a Patreon. Anyone that's new to this, it's basically like going up to someone in a restaurant and giving them a tip. If you've enjoyed today's interview, all you have to do is go on there on markandme.com, click the link, and you subscribe each and every month. It basically costs you only £1. And for that, you get a guaranteed 2 episodes a week. You get an exclusive episode called The Lost Tapes, which is only for people on Patreon. Not only that, you get a welcome pack, which comes with stickers, badges, and a monthly newsletter. And I'm going to be introducing some exciting brand new prizes and giveaways just for you guys on Patreon very, very soon. And just before I go today, I also want to give a big shout out to the sponsor of the podcast, Richer Sounds. Thanks to those guys each and every month for sponsoring the podcast. So if you are out there and you want to buy a new TV or home cinema surround sound system or anything within audio and visual, go on richersounds.com or drop into any of their stores on the high street. They are actually the best guys out there in the game. I'm going to go now because honestly, I'm going to be now editing even more episodes for you guys at home. It hasn't slowed down and I've got a huge backlog of stuff to get done. So I can't wait to share these with you in just a couple of days' time. But until then, look after yourself. Take care. Please go and listen to Alien Ant Farm. And I'll speak to you all very soon.
Smell them when they burn. say the past is not dead. Can stop and smell the smoke. You keep saying the past is not dead. Well, stop and smell the smoke. You keep on saying the past is not even past. And you keep saying we are smoke.